Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a special guest, Mayor Daniel Corona from West Wendover. Where is that, you say? It's in Nevada. He'll be here, plus Fred Locken, on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome for the first time to the program from West Wendover, the mayor of the city of West Wendover, Daniel Corona. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be on.
So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, you know, people listen to this show across the state, and I'm not sure that everybody who's listening is aware of West Wendover and where it sits. So would you tell us a little bit about West Wendover, population, location, and closeness to Salt Lake City?
Yes, that's very common. I often find myself explaining to people exactly where West Wendover is and kind of the big scheme of Nevada. So we're up in northeastern Nevada, right on the border of Utah and Nevada. There actually is West Wendover, which is in Nevada, and then Wendover, which is in Utah. We just share a border. And then we are only an hour and a half away from Salt Lake City, so it makes this a big tourism destination for the folks in Salt Lake who want a quick weekend getaway. So our population is right around 5,000 right now, but the average weekend we see anywhere from 20,000 to 40,000 folks come out for kind of a weekend getaway.
And you have, what, about 1,000 hotel rooms?
That sounds about right.
Okay, and big-name entertainment, the biggest stars come and play there, the ones that you would see in Las Vegas and Reno. In fact, yes. For a long time, the Peppermill, which has three properties in West Wendover, had bigger names showing up in Wendover than they did in Reno.
Yes. There was a while where Jay Leno, he's been out here quite a few times. So, you know, they really do attract those top name entertainers.
And I was checking out some of the restaurants in town, especially the higher-end restaurants. And you want to go out for an evening of fine dining, it's certainly available to you in West Wendover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, between our five casinos, you can do not everything that you can do and experience in Las Vegas, but you can come pretty dang close with our fine dining options, our world-class entertainment, our Vegas-style casinos. So it definitely, for those folks who, like I said, in Salt Lake, the quick hour-and-a-half drive, it's a lot closer than their six-hour drive to Vegas when they just want to get away for a weekend.
And you're also on the Mountain Time Zone, correct?
Yes, so we are the only incorporated city in the state that is on Mountain Time Zone, and it's because our economy kind of relies on those those folks from Salt Lake City.
And I've been doing a little research on you. You are the youngest mayor in the state of Nevada, correct?
Yes.
And yep. you're a lifelong West Wendover kid.
Yep, born and raised.
And yet you did leave to go to school, and then came back. Why'd you come back?
You know, I came back for a number of reasons. I was missing home. My entire family's here. One of my sisters lives here in West Wendover. My other sister lives in Elko, which is only an hour and a half away, and they both have kids. And so to be closer, we have a really tight-knit family, so to be closer to, you know, my nieces and nephews and to be able to watch them grow up. And then my grandparents who live here in West Wendover are starting to get older. Unfortunately, about a year after I moved back, my grandfather passed away, so I was glad that I made that decision to come closer, to be with my family. And I really felt like, you know, after going out and getting education, coming back and trying to use what I've learned out in the real world to maybe make West Wendover an even better place, you know, for the next generation. So to come back and try to give back was something that was important to me.
You mentioned Wendover, which is on the eastern side of town in Utah, is not doing anywhere close economically as West Wendover is. And yet over the years, the ability to unite the two sides into Nevada has just not panned out. And is my understanding correct that this now cannot happen, that there's a statute that says that the two communities cannot be combined?
I know that Senator Orrin Hatch had said that as long as he was in the United States Senate, it would never happen. And he's retiring now. So I'm not 100% certain if it could be revisited. I know that it doesn't seem like there's any interest in the community right now to try to re-pursue that. But, I mean, who knows if there is in the future, maybe it could be revisited. And I'm not exactly sure on.
What's the population of Wendover?
Wendover is about 1,600 right now.
Okay, so about 20% of the population of West Wendover. Do a lot of people come over for jobs?
Yes, yeah, so most of their population is employed in West Wendover because, like you mentioned, there isn't really much going on economically in Wendover, Utah. They do have a couple hotels. They have a Family Dollar store and a couple of restaurants, but other than that, there isn't really much in the way of business to employ folks.
Does it bother you that people in Salt Lake City are far more familiar with the town of West Wendover than most people in the state of Nevada are?
That's a good question. Yes and no. I think... No, because of our proximity to Utah. One thing that has kind of bothered me for a long time is elected officials, especially at the state level, who are unfamiliar with West Wendover. Because, you know, we are kind of far away from Reno and Las Vegas. We're a six-hour drive from both cities. But we still are part of the state. And I think sometimes we get overlooked just because of, you know, the distance between us and those larger cities where our state elected officials tend to come from. So that's one thing that bothers me and that I've been really working towards trying to bridge that gap. Last legislative session, I spent a lot of time in Carson City talking to assembly members and state senators who had never heard of West Wendover before and trying to get them familiar with, you know, this part of the state.
Kind of scary when you think about that.
Yes. Yeah. It's,
I'm sure they recognize the tax money when it comes in.
Yes. And We kind of joke here in West Wendover about Elko County. We kind of even get overlooked by the county government because the county seat is in Elko. It's about a two-hour drive. So even they're a little bit far away from us. So they overlook us when they're making decisions sometimes, but they don't overlook the tax money that's coming in.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a Battle Mountain, Austin kind of situation over there in Landa County.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's take a break. More with our guest, Mayor Daniel Corona, when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're having a great conversation with Mayor Daniel Corona. He's the mayor of West Wendover, which is up in the northeastern corner of the state and borders Utah and is about an hour and a half away from Salt Lake City. Does tremendous business with people coming to the Silver State for all the things that they have to offer. You've been very active, not just in Carson City, but across the nation. You are certainly involved in Democratic politics, correct?
Yes. Yes. And I know most mayors tend to be careful when it comes to being political or campaign or working on campaigns with state and national offices. But for me, it's something that I've always been passionate about. And when I was running for mayor, it's a nonpartisan position, and I made it very clear that I would govern as a nonpartisan official, but I wasn't going to change who I am. And I think that the voters appreciated that. And so, even though I am kind of outspoken, I think I say, people know who I am and they've supported it. And so no sense in changing that, I believe.
Have you taken a position in the governor's race in the primary at this point?
I have. I am 100% and behind Chris Giungiliani. One of the main reasons being when I lived in Las Vegas, she was my county commissioner. So I was able to see, up close and firsthand, that she really does. She's one of those rare politicians that puts people before party and always makes sure that the decisions of that she makes are what's best for her constituents, not what's best for a political party or for a special interest. It's always about the constituents with her.
Let me ask you this, and briefly, because I got another topic I want to hit, which is most of rural Nevada would be considered conservative Republican country. Is that true in West Wendover as well?
West Wendover is kind of a special little progressive island in a sea of red. Last election cycle, I believe we were, our two voting precincts, they voted for Hillary Clinton. And then Democratic candidates did very well. Catherine Cortez Masto, I think, only fell behind by like two votes to Joe Heck. And I think the main reason for that was Joe Heck's campaign spent more time and money on this part of the state. And so people just weren't familiar with Senator Cortez Masto, well, now Senator Cortez Masto. And so I think people here, they tend to be more Democrat-leaning, a little bit more progressive than the rest of, especially our county.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna hold you over and play another segment of this on a different show. Stick around and we'll talk more. We've got the mayor of West Wendover, Daniel Corona, here on the program, and we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Fred Locken. He is professor of political science, if I can say that, at Truckee Motors Community College. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Happy to be here.
All right. So it's been very obvious over the last year or so that you have not been a happy man with President Trump as our president. But the economy is booming to the point where the Fed may have to raise interest rates to slow down the economy. Businesses are ecstatic over the amount of the tax cut, and people are getting $1,000 bonuses across the country. What's not to love?
Well, to begin with, we have to understand that this is a long trajectory of an economic recovery that occurred under a different administration that's constantly discredited every day by this regime.
Which is typical. He has
added to the growth. Certainly, we have had an amazing year of the stock market. But what goes up does come down. We already know that in spite of the tax cut, there's discussion of the next recession. They're trying to hold it off until after the November election. But we already have one of the top three indicators indicating that, you can have growth in one end of the economy, but there are other storm clouds on this economy that could slow down. Well, in essence, we have to wait and see what the breadth of this tax cut is going to be. There's a lot of hype around it, but we had Paul Ryan defending a 54-cent a week pay increase from this thing there. The promise to the middle class will not be realized for most. And the reality is that they're telling us 80% of this tax cut went to the wealthiest. Now, the last time we did a tax cut like this was under Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. And a study in 1987 of the Reagan tax cuts indicated that 70% of that money was offshored. It never benefited the American economy. There had been no protections put into this process. There are no requirements that the money actually be spent at home. They gave them the money and said, go forth and spend and stimulate. You now have a prospect of a trade war. The Donald Trump is not backing down on his plan to engage in tariffs. And everyone now is starting to talk global recession if he launches a trade war. So in spite of the tax cut, this is an administration that is not managing the economy well, has not fixed a single problem in Wall Street that caused the collapse in 2008. In fact, has undone regulations that were put in place to help us protect it. It's not a perfect picture. I'm really happy that people got bonuses this year. But again, there's absolutely no guarantee. That was a nice political ploy, I think, promised as part of the deal in D.C. Will it be there next year and the year after is my cynical question about this, because ultimately this is going to be an uneven growth. There are many states that are going to be left behind. There was no structure or common sense about how this money would be reinvested in America. It's kind of left to the ethers to decide. This is not the formula for success.
But money is being repatriated to the United States from offshore, trillions of dollars.
Well, not trillions. Under the circumstances, we know that there was $4 trillion sitting offshore that was skeptical money because they didn't want to invest in the economy. On the other hand, the unemployment rate dropping, the growth and stability of the economy, the overall stabilization and growth of the U.S. economy was 30 months long before it, in fact, 70 months long before it ever got to Donald Trump. All of that said, they are happy when they get what they want, but the stock market can unravel, trade wars can erupt, there are all kinds of storm clouds that can undo whatever prosperity. And that's exactly what Paul Ryan and others are saying today and this week, is that a trade war could undo all of the good that has been accomplished from this tax cut.
You're going to see, obviously, the Fed has been telegraphing it very loudly, increases in the interest rates. And, you know, for me, I look at this and go, well, it would be great for senior citizens and people on a fixed income if we could see interest rates up around 5% return for them, because that way they could actually get some benefit, because they're investing their money in the stock market because there's no other place for them to get a return.
And that's so volatile at that age. The United States economy has desperately tried to learn from the Japanese mistake. The Japanese have been lodged in stagflation for a legendary period of time, an economy that just cannot get off the dime. And there were signs that, I mean, if you get down to zero interest rates, you're right with the Japanese on this. So there's a real desire to try to move us back to normalcy. The 21st century, though, and in the post-Great Recession, I'm wondering if there's normalcy for anything, including the economy. So we're using dated mentalities and thoughts about our economic process and our political process that seemingly don't jive with the new realities of the post-recession. And so, you know, there is the hope to get this to a point where saving money actually pays off again, but they have a long way to go.
And you bring up another interesting point, which is that everything old is new again. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post. That paper is now thriving because it's understanding how to operate digitally. The bad news for some with the presidency has resulted in the New York Times having record online subscriptions. And almost every newspaper now is saying, donate money to our cause here. They want you to do more than just buy the paper. They want you to donate as well. And then you have Jeff Bezos buying Whole Foods, and Amazon now working its way into Whole Foods retail, brick and mortar. So it seems like we are in a different world of recycling.
We are, and certainly the American economy, any economy, probably goes through cycles like this. I mean, they reinvent themselves. Some of us have to be around a long time to recognize the patterns, but we are seeing the patterns in that process. But we've also had horrible economies when our economy was mismanaged. I remember my first car loan was 18%. It killed me. Why did I even borrow at 18%? But that was the economy that Jimmy Carter had given us. And inexperienced people in Washington who pretend to have business experience have clogged the arteries of the U.S. economy before. And I remain a skeptic of this administration and its performance overall. Its decisions need to be more based on what is going to benefit the economy. He doesn't even listen to his own advisors most days. It's just a very bizarre kind of politics.
And that's how we have to leave it here, Fred Locken. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
And thank you.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Ray Bacon, Executive Director of the Nevada Manufacturers Association. We'll see you then.